Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful time in worship. Just being in the presence of God's love. I was very happy to hear that I wasn't the only one feeling the strain of this week, Derek. But I don't know how you guys are feeling, like a bit of empty tanks, everyone who I've spoken to. It's like we did this in comm where we're like, how are you? Are you okay? Like, yeah, or here. And people were kind of like, So this time of year, like for me personally, is one of the busiest times of the year. I'm in the hotel industry, so obviously there's lots going on with the hotels. The hotels are full. We also generally rent out our property over this period. So it's trying to get the property ready and things fixed and everything sold. There's church stuff happening, there's end of year meetings, so it's a very busy, busy time. Sometimes it feels like at the end of the day where I just like get like maybe 5 minutes to myself, then the way that I actually just relax is I actually sit on the couch and I just go through the news. So I've learned YouTube and reels are not good for me. So I just go on the news. But generally, there's not a lot of positive news on the news. I don't know who like goes through news articles and everything. It's always generally, this country is fighting with this one. There's unrest happening. And when a country is in a state of unrest, there's dissatisfaction between the government and the citizens. There's often disturbances, there's public demonstrations, there's often disorder, and there's agitation. And if you remember in July, South Africa had its own moment of unrest, and it was quite a fearful time for a lot of people. But we can sometimes bring that unrest into our families as well. So in these last couple of weeks, maybe by a show of hands, who can tell me how often your family has been in a state of dissatisfaction? Is mine the only one? I think we're in trouble. Okay, I see some other hands. That's good. Okay, in the last couple of weeks, has there been any signs of disorder in your family? Okay, there's more hands. I'm glad. Thanks for working with me. Have your kids been a disturbance? There's a lot more hands. Maybe your spouse has even rallied the kids in causing a private demonstration. Has that happened? Okay, that didn't happen with us, so we're good. I didn't see any hands either. But have you been agitated? So we can also work in a place of unrest. And I find myself, when I'm in a place of unrest, I become very short with my kids, very short with my wife, like how I speak to them. And often these last few days I've had to even like apologize and just repent and say, sorry, the way I spoke wasn't kind. But I'm hearing that from the language in our children as well. And it leads me to know that we need to rest. And then I started asking the question, Lord, how do I rest well? And that's actually the title of my message today, is how to rest well. And with the holiday season approaching, it's a good time to fill the tanks. But I must say, personally, I haven't been very good at this. Over the years, I've struggled on how to rest well, even when there are holiday times. So we've had holidays that have been really long, and at the end of those, I've still been tired, or I go back to work, and 1 or 2 days later, I feel like I need a holiday again. I've had shorter holidays that are more frequent, also the same result. I've had holidays where we've gone up country to beautiful places, far and wide. I've come back tired. I've tried holidays where I just sit in front of the TV and watch a 5-day test cricket Anyone done that? Okay, that worked a little bit. Not really. I was a bit miserable at the end of that as well. And then just spending time with people I love and care about, also somehow it just didn't fill my tank. So can anyone relate to me with these? Sometimes we go on holiday and then we feel like we actually need a holiday after the holiday. So I've tried all of these things, and as with sometimes that we do, we tend to try everything and then it all fails, and then the last resort is, okay, Lord, what do you say? So I went to Scripture and I said, you know, Lord, what is it in Scripture? How do we rest well? So let's actually dig into some Scripture. So the first time that rest is mentioned, you probably all know this, in Genesis, right at the beginning. So God created the heavens and the earth. This is in Genesis 2, verse 1. So God created the heavens and the earth, and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. So he spent 6 days working away, making, designing and creating this perfect place for us to live. And on the seventh day, he rested from his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. So he blesses this day of rest and he declares it holy, because it was a day that he rested from all his work of creation. So God sets this example for us on how to work. And before we get into long holiday periods, he sets this example that we have 6 days of work, and on the seventh day we must rest from our work. And when we do that, he will bless it, and it is a day that is holy. And I must admit, we don't always get this right. We have to sometimes diarize when we take off, and we have to actually put in the calendar our Sabbath days that we take, or our days of rest that we take. Otherwise, the craziness and the busyness of life often comes in, and then we find ourselves not resting that well. So God gave the Israelites instructions on how to rest as well. He gave them festivals or public holidays or holidays, if you like. So we're going to go through those now. And this is mentioned in Leviticus 23, verse 1. And half the church has already gone to sleep as soon as I mentioned Leviticus. So I think we're going to make this a little interactive. Are you okay with that? Louise, I'm wondering if you can put on those words. All right, so we're going to go through all the festivals. I am watching my time. I have timed this, so it's not going to be a long process. All right, and every time I mention the Lord, I want you guys to say, hey! Okay, the Lord. There we go. And when I say Holy Assembly, you go, ho! Holy Assembly. The Lord. Holy Assembly. Okay, good, good, good. I thought this was going to go way worse, so you guys are really doing well. When I say no works, you're going to clap twice. Okay, no works. No works. Okay. And special gifts, you're going to stomp. Special gifts. Special gifts. The Lord. Holy Assembly. Special gifts. The Lord. Holy Assembly. Special gifts. No work. Okay, there we go. Let's get through this. You guys did really well. I wasn't expecting it to go that well. Okay, so we're going to start in Leviticus 23. I'm just going to read it for us. All right, and it starts, the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as official days for Holy Assembly. There we go. You have 6 days each week for you to do ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day and complete rest, an official day for Holy Assembly. It is the Lord's Sabbath day, and it must be observed wherever you live. In addition to the Sabbath, These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the official days for holy assembly that are to be celebrated at the proper times each year. So now he goes on to the actual festivals. So the first festival, the Passover festival, this festival to the Lord continues for 7 days. On the first day of the festival, all the people must stop ordinary work and observe an official day for holy assembly. There we go. For 7 days, you must present special gifts to the Lord. There we go. Then the festival of the harvest. That same day will be proclaimed an official day for the holy assembly. A day on which you do no ordinary work. There we go. When you harvest the crops of the land and do not harvest the grain along the edges of the field and do not pick up what the harvesters drop, leave it for the poor and foreigners amongst you. I am the Lord, your God. The festival of trumpets. You are to observe a day of complete rest. It will be an official day for holy assembly. You must do no ordinary work on that day. Instead, you are to present special gifts to the Lord. There we go. Day of Atonement. You must observe it as an official day for holy assembly. A day to deny yourselves and present special gifts to the Lord. Where you do no work during that entire day. All who do not deny themselves that day will be cut off from God's people, and I will destroy anyone among you who does any work on that day. You must do no work at all. All right, and then we have the last festival, the Festival of Shelters. This festival to the Lord will last for 7 days. On the first day of the festival, you must proclaim an official day for holy assembly. Ho! When you do no ordinary work, for 7 days you must present special gifts to the Lord. Hey! The eighth day is another holy day on which you present your special gifts to the Lord. Hey! This will be a solemn occasion, and no ordinary work may be done that day. These are the Lord's appointed festivals. Celebrate them each year as official days for holy assembly by presenting special gifts to the Lord. Well done. Give yourselves a clap. So who can tell me anything we've read? All right. So to summarize, you guys did fantastic. I was thinking this was going to be a complete train wreck, but you did so well. I'm really proud of you. All right, so first thing that comes out is that all of the holidays that the Lord gave the Israelites were holy days for Him. They were holy days for the Lord. That's the number one thing. The second thing is with all of these festivals, there was an official day for holy assembly. So that means for all of these, you did well, you don't need to carry on again. So for all of these holy assembly days, that was pretty much them getting together and doing church. So when God gave times of rest and celebration to the Israelites, He also intended that part of that was that we would come together. The third thing was that there was no work on those days. No work. All right. In fact, you could be killed if you did work on those days. So it's something that God held as a very important thing. And then the fourth thing was special gifts, that you had to, at these private assemblies, you would offer your special gifts, which was your sacrificial gift. It was a gift of worship unto the Lord. And one of these festivals, you actually had to leave the gleans of grain for other people to glean off your ground. So it was almost a gift for others as well. So, and these festivals were on top of the Sabbath, the normal Sabbath rests. And what was an interesting when I read through this, is that all the festivals had these four things. So all the festivals were dedicated to the Lord. There was a day where the church got together. There was a day where during these festivals you weren't allowed to work, and there was a special gifts of worship to God. But what was interesting was on the Sabbath it said is for the Lord. The Sabbath you would get together and do church. The Sabbath you would not work, but you did not have to give a special gift. And when we read in Mark 2:27, Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." So it's amazing that God almost gives us a gift on the Sabbath. So on the other festivals, the people were required to give gifts, but on the Sabbath, it's God giving us a gift. So it's important that we take that one day of rest where the Lord, because the Lord blesses that day, and it's a gift to us. So if we look at these festivals, and I've got to have a disclaimer here, my wife thankfully reminded me of this. So we don't follow the different festivals of the Jewish religions. But we can read that in Scripture and take certain principles out of it. Are we all okay with that? All right. So what principles can we take from this? The first principle is that when we go on holiday, or when we take public holidays, or when we have our Sabbath or days of rest, they're not our days. They're actually days that we dedicate to the Lord. They are gifts from the Lord to us. So we need to change our mindset. And part of resting is I spent all of those years looking for the perfect way for myself to rest. But it didn't ever include God in that plan. It was, how do I rest? How do I relax? How do I clear my mind? All right? But I think part of rest is if we go into the rest saying, "Lord, this is for you," we might rest better. So rest is from the Lord. As it said, He rested from all His work and He blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. It's a holy day, that our rest time. It's holy. The second thing that we can do on holiday is still go to church. So with all of these festivals, the very first day of the festival, the people got together, they celebrated together, they worshiped together. So there was that was an important part of the festival. If God thought isolation was important, He wouldn't have had that. He would have just said, "These are festival days, stay at home," you know. But He didn't say that. He said, "Come together as a church and celebrate together." So I want to encourage you, Derek mentioned it a little earlier, wherever you're going on holiday, even if you break on the 15th, find a Josh Gen church wherever you are. And if there's no Josh Gen church, there's most probably a 412 church somewhere in the area. All right, so don't neglect going to church. It's a place where collectively you can worship the Lord together. And then the fourth thing that you can do on holiday is, and your rest time, is bring a gift to the Lord. And the gifts that we can bring to God is either the gift of worship to Him, otherwise it's a gift of generosity to those around us. So those are ways that we can worship the Lord and ways that we can offer Him gifts. So when we go on holiday, we don't forget our brothers and sisters. If you're going to be staying here, don't close off your home for, what, it's 6 weeks or something that we break from comms. But keep meeting together. Keep opening up your homes. Keep being generous. All right, so those are principles that we can get from festivals that we can apply into our holiday period. Are you guys okay? All right. So some of you might be saying, okay, that's Old Testament, but we now New Testament, New Covenant. So what does Jesus say about rest? So Jesus would have also have gone to these festivals because He did grow up in the Jewish faith, so He would have celebrated some of these festivals. But He also showed us how to rest individually. So I've got a few scriptures here. So if we look at Mark 1:35, This was after he had healed many, 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 many people, and then said, and the next day, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place and prayed. All right? So he got up before the sun rose. He went to an isolated place to be alone, and he prayed. All right? So how did Jesus rest? He also withdrew so that he could be alone with his Father, and he could pray. Or we rest in the same way. Luke 5:15. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to him to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. So this was an often practice of Jesus, that he would often withdraw, and he would often then go into isolated areas and pray. And living in Wellington, we have such a rich resource that we can all actually do this. I'm not saying every day you need to go into the mountains, but there, I went the other day with Amanda on Bainscliff. There's a cycle track that you can go up, and I've spoken to the owner. You don't need a permit if you're a local here. So there are trails that you can actually just walk and go and pray and spend time in the mountains. You can go to Pole Mountain. You can go up Groenberg. If you don't know the way, ask Christian. He knows the way. There's Doolhof. There's a river walk in Doolhof. That's also free. So these are ways that we can actually get it out of our places that we're comfortable with and just go into nature and spend time with the Lord. Jesus gave us this example. In Luke 6:12, one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. When last have any of us prayed all night? Not one. I think Amanda, no, you haven't. Okay, so this is also a good example, and I always wondered why Jesus was sleeping in the boat. Remember the story when there was a storm and they were in a boat, and the disciples were like, "We're going to die!" And Jesus was sleeping. I think he was sleeping because he had been up the whole night praying. So if we are struggling with storms in our lives, maybe we should be praying through the night so we'll sleep through them. That was just a joke. Richard got it. Mark 6:46. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself and prayed. And he didn't only do this by himself. In Mark 6:31, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." So he also demonstrated this to his disciples. So why does God give us these examples of Sabbath festivals? Jesus gives us an example. How do these all tie in? How are they good for us? So in 1 Thessalonians 5, this is Paul's final greeting. He said in verse 23, he said, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So we're made up of body, of soul, and of spirit. And all of these need to get rest. So your body is physical rest. Your physical body needs rest. Your soul is your emotions, your will, your mind. That needs rest. And your spirit also needs rest. So when we look at the Sabbath and the festivals where God's like, if you work, you will die. He was saying, like, these guys, they didn't have it like us where they open a tap. They had to go and fetch water. They had to walk some distance, fetch heavy pails of water and bring it back to the towns. They had to work the land. They were very physical in those days. So they needed that rest. So the Lord also gave the Sabbath so that they could rest physically. And then our emotions, our soul, our emotions, our feelings, our minds, these need rest as well. And these days we get flooded with content. Like if we look at our phones are designed to captivate our minds. They're designed to keep us stimulated. They're designed that we don't turn off. So we're flooded with content, with screens, with reels, with news sites. So for this holiday period, won't you also give your soul a rest, your mind a rest, and put down your phones? Can you go the whole holiday without your phone? There's a grumbling. The whole holiday, Raymond, come on. It's a long time without my phone. That's generally a good sign that there may be an issue there. So we can rest our minds in that way. And when they had those holy assemblies with these festivals, it was always on the first day of the holiday. And it almost set them up for the rest of the holiday. It was, they put the focus on God first. It wasn't a focus on rest. It was a focus on God, and out of that came rest. So I want to encourage you to do things differently this holiday. Spend time with the Lord. Spend way less time on your phones. And then lastly, spirit. So when we rest, we rest physically. I was thinking I might not need so much physical rest. I might need actually a little bit more exercise, but I'll stick with scripture. I'll rest anyway. But my mind is something that just races, and I think about work constantly, and church constantly, and family constantly, and I need to rest my mind. And the only way to do that is to spend time with the Lord, to get your mind off the things of this world and onto the Lord. And your spirit, for your spirit to rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." So for our spirits to rest, we need to come to Jesus. Matthew 6:6, "Go into your inner room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So this is talking about an inner room. I thought, I don't know if we have an inner room. All of our rooms kind of face the outside. And then I thought, maybe the inner room is in your closet, in your room. And some people have a prayer closet, so if it works for you. In the Old Testament, it also mentions that God gives rest. So in Exodus 33:14, the Lord answered, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And these days, we have the Holy Spirit with us, which is the presence of God that can give us rest. In Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So it is our time with the Lord that we are strengthened. It's our time with Jesus that we are refreshed. And through the Holy Spirit, we will get rest. So can we look to do holidays slightly different this year? I'm talking to myself as well. So start your day with Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, you've got to wake up before the sun rises. All right? And if you're on holiday, that's okay, because if you're tired during the day, then you can just have an afternoon nap. But start your day with Jesus. Make sure that you find time to break away to a quiet place where you can have intimacy with the Lord. Don't do any work. Don't check work. Don't think about work. Don't do any of it. Think maybe if you were back in the olden days, how dead would you be now if that instruction was, if you do work, you die? How many times would you be dead? I would be dead many times. So don't think about work. Don't do work. Where possible, go to church or go to a 412 church or a Josh Jen church. And if there's no church, then have church at home. We had communion as a family the other day. And we can have time as worship as well at home. And bring your gift to God, your gift of worship. And be generous to others. Rest your mind, emotions, and your heart from your screens. And then wait on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will renew your strength, and he will lift you up, and he will replenish you with the help of the Holy Spirit.